Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home for your next Disney or Universal vacation, contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. Show's also being brought to you by American Tourist Travel. Let us book your next Disney vacation, Universal vacation, or any other vacation you can dream of at americantouristtravel.com. Show's also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for Disney World, Universal Studios, or anywhere else in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. And our last sponsor is David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay at the Boardwalk, the Yacht and Beach Club, the Wilderness Lodge, the Animal Kingdom, Old Key West, Saratoga, you know them all, guys. Contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at dvcrentals.com. And now on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to podcast number 182. Dennis and I have a very special guest pull up a stool tonight. None other than the Podfather, Lou Mangiello, joins us at the Main Street Pub. We have a wonderful interview with Lou. We were so happy to finally get him on the show. Everybody knows how much we respect him. And sit back and enjoy, guys. Talk to you later. Bye-bye. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the podcast. We are joined by Lou Mangiello from WDW Radio. Hey, Lou, pull up a stool.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
We are finally glad to have you on.
Yeah, man, I'm happy we finally got to do this, and the studio looks great. Nice and comfortable, exactly as I pictured it.
Thanks.
We ordered new chairs and everything just for your appearance on the show, so we hope it's to your liking.
Yeah, well, the snack bar is a nice touch, so thank you.
Well, you know what, Lou, just for you, and Dennis don't know about this, we had pork roll, we got scrapple, and we got Philly cheesesteaks. Are you on board here?
I'm with you. I'm with you with the pork roll and Philly cheesesteak, scrapple if really we get desperate.
Okay, you don't like the scrapple?
I'm not what I got the other two. You know, that's the only thing I miss about being in Jersey is the food. So I miss me a good pork roll, egg and cheese sandwich and a nice crusty roll.
I was telling Den about that before the show started. I said one of Lou's favorite things is pork roll, and Den don't know what pork roll is. And I figured right up to 95 in Boston, he had some pork roll. He don't even get Taylor pork roll up in Boston.
Wow.
We only eat chowder up here. I have no idea what pork roll is.
Chowder.
Lobster and chowder.
Nice.
Now, there's nothing better than a pork roll, egg, and cheese sandwich. It would be a couple times a week for me if my wife would allow it.
It's healthy. It's, you know, it's protein.
Absolutely. And you're a true foodie, so. But, so Lou, I wanted to mention real quick, you got a couple meets in a month coming up down in Walt Disney World. Where are you meeting in July? At the Animal Kingdom?
Yeah, so, you know, because that's exactly where you want to meet in the middle of summer is right in Animal Kingdom, the coolest park in the world. We're meeting inside. We're meeting over at Restaurantosaurus at the Hip Joint. You know, I've been doing the meets of the month for going on, I guess, like 8-9 years, whatever it is now. And it's really one of the things I enjoy doing most.
Well, you get to meet the fans.
Friends, not fans.
I
don't like that word. I like friends because that's what we, you know, as a podcaster, that's what people who listen are. And look, for me, the fact that people are willing to share and give up some of their time every week, they are a friend to me because they allow us to do what we do.
Absolutely. It's like you can't believe when you look at every once in a while we'll go in, we look at the downloads or the hits. It's like, I can't believe these people really want to listen to us and you appreciate it so much. It touches you every time you see a download.
Absolutely. And you know what, man? I'd never check my numbers. Like, I really don't care what my numbers are because I would do the same show for one person that I would do for a million. But the fact that at least one person is willing to sit there and listen to us ramble on about Disney World and whatever other tangents we go on is incredibly humbling.
Well, me and Dennis both say the reason we started this, because to be honest with you, you're the reason I started this. I started listening to you when I got my first iPod and I'm a Disney nut. And I stumbled across your podcast, and I've been wanting to do it ever since. And that's what made me start this, because every time you'd be talking, I'd have an opinion. And I'm like, I wanted to yell it.
Yell at me? You wanted to yell it?
Yeah, and my wife got tired of hearing it. And the same thing with Dan. I don't think our wives want to hear it anymore, so we have to spew it somewhere.
Yeah, I can remember, Lou, watching one of your video casts or vidcasts. Now, I don't know how many years ago now. You could probably tell me better than I can remember it. But I remember you were set up. I think you were still up north, and you were by a pool, or you were poolside. And you were going back and forth saying, you know, if something happens or if somebody donates to Give Kids the World, I forget what it was, but you were going to jump in the pool. And I believe you did jump in the pool eventually. Do I remember that story correctly?
Yeah, man, that's pretty, you know, the details. I was actually down in South Florida. I was down in Naples, and, you know, crazy person that I was, sitting outside. My neighbor's wondering, who is this lunatic talking to himself? And I was sitting out by the pool, and somebody says, yeah, we should try and get you to jump in the pool. I'm like, ah, well, you know, well, let's do something for charity. Somebody suggested, let's do something for charity. And I said, all right, if you guys raise $500, I'll jump in the pool. And, like, within 20 minutes, they raised $500. Somebody matched it, so it ended up being $1,000. And for some reason, people wanted to see me jump in the pool with my clothes on. So go figure.
It was crazy. Yeah, and that's when I kind of got hooked on, you know, I listened to the podcast as well. But the vidcast, I said, wow, this guy really is nuts. And but you have a great way about it where, you're talking Disney and tying in, you know, having some fun with the listeners and going back and forth. So I don't know, that just resonated with me when you were, you know, outside jumping into the pool with your clothes on. That was pretty good.
It's funny, of all the things that I've done, jumping in the pool.
Well, yeah, that and the 40-hour show was another one that you still claim you will never do again.
I never say never, but I'd have to be really hard pressed to do that again.
I listened to it I listened to most of it as much as I could, Lou. But the thing of it was, is I was like, why didn't he just do 24 hours? Why did it have to be go to 40?
Well, because I had done 24 hours once before.
Well, so didn't you learn from that?
Well, I did it, and we had a great time, and we raised money for charity, and it was like, you know, we live broadcast it. So literally, like, minutes before I was getting on stage on one of our group cruises, I'm sitting there, I'm going, you know, Walt Disney World's 40th anniversary is coming up. I can't just do 24 hours again. 40 hours? 40 years? It makes perfect sense. What could possibly go wrong? And I went up and I said, and everybody's like, what are you? Like, Becky looked at me, and my wife looked at me like, what are you, insane, man? So, but it was a lot of fun. What I remember of it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, especially about 3 in the morning. It was real fun.
Yeah, because I know a lot of that goes to your Dream Team project, correct?
Yeah. So we raise money for Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Yeah, which is very good, and we have given plenty of many times for that, and it's a good cause, Lou. I'm good things you're doing with that.
Thank you, guys.
So we wanted to ask you again, Lou. The thing I wanted to start with is, and I haven't heard you totally answer this, where do you think the studios are heading? Like, what's your opinion? Like, with the Art of Animation closing down, are you sad about that? Like, because I didn't see that side of the park coming as far as that being closed. I thought it was going to be the other side over by Indiana Jones and the Streets of America. I'd never seen the animation side coming.
So I did kind of have an idea of what was coming, and I think that you obviously still have not heard everything that's coming. And look, I think one of the things people have to understand is that anytime you make progress, you need to sacrifice something. You're going to lose something along the way. So do the nostalgics, and myself included, wish that all the things that we grew up with and that we loved could stay? Absolutely. But if you want to make way for things that are bigger, maybe better, maybe newer, maybe more attractive to the you know, general population and the people that are going to come, yeah, you have to understand that certain things, Maelstrom needs to go away because people are clamoring for Frozen.
You're killing me,
Louis. I know. I'm playing devil's advocate. Well, look, I love the Animation Academy, but would you be excited? And I'm not saying I know it. I'm guessing. Would you be ecstatic if instead of the magic of Disney animation, all of a sudden there's a magic of Pixar animation, and you and your kids learn how to animate like a Pixar animator?
That's what I was going to say. The future's coming as far as, too. I've mentioned, me and my wife talked about this, that the reason it's going is because there isn't as many 3D, there isn't many regular hand-drawn anything anymore. Everything is computer-generated. So maybe, hopefully, they go in that direction where the whole computer, the touch screens, the whole nine yards, you can sit in there and learn how to, you know, do all the new Pixar characters.
And look, we're speculating, right, that it may be coming.
But that's what we do.
Right, and that's part of the fun, right? Do a little, you know, backseat Imagineering. But I think the important thing is that, and look, the handwriting's on the wall, right? You know what's coming. You know Pixar's coming. You know a massive Star Wars Lucas expansion is coming. And I think I'm excited about the things that we don't know yet. And I think that's what, you know, I enjoy and I trust. You know, Disney and Imagineering has earned my trust to say, hey, if we're closing these things, if the dominoes are starting to fall, get ready because we're working on something else.
Oh, absolutely. I just didn't see, like I said, that side came out of nowhere. I thought the work was going to start. I thought Indiana Jones might close, Streets of America, the Lights, Motor, Action with the Backlot Tour. I didn't see them starting over at the animation side and working their way back. I didn't think Pixar was coming first. I thought Star Wars on the other side was going to come first.
I think there's a lot of things happening already behind the scenes.
Oh, absolutely.
That we just don't know about. And a lot has to happen in order for the expansion. So I'm trying not to say too much about what I think or what I believe might be coming. But needless to say, I think it's an exciting time to be a Walt Disney World fan.
Absolutely.
And you are right, Lou. I agree with everything you just said. But, you know, I hate when somebody goes all adult on me because we're in the Disney community. We like to complain and, you know, just say, ah, why are they doing this? Why are they doing that? I mean, I love Maelstrom, and I'm on the side that I'm, you know, kind of bummed that they took it away and Frozen's going in there. But what you said is totally accurate. I mean, they should have earned our trust by now. I mean, they've been, you know, Imagineering these attractions and this ornate theming for years now. And more often than not, when they do something, for whatever reason, when you get out on the other side, it is awesome. So I know in the end we'll be happy, but it's just the ride along the way where, yeah, we like to complain, you know?
Yeah.
Well, see, if you listen to Dan, and I know you're a busy, busy man, Lou, with all of us crazy shows out here going on Disney, but our show with Dennis, Dennis's biggest thing is, which I agree with him in a way, like, I understand it. I don't agree with him, but I understand. World Showcase is sacred and, like, adult-oriented to Dennis, and he hates the idea that Frozen's coming into his Epcot. He likes Frozen anywhere else, but he don't want the characters to come into World Showcase, where I've skewed it to be like the way Fantasyland used to be. The old Fantasyland used to be, when me and my wife would go without the kids, we would avoid Fantasyland at all cost. Now, with the revamp and the way they've redone Fantasyland, I love walking through that land as much as any of the other lands in the Magic Kingdom, because I think it made it more adult and child friendly for both. And I think that's kind of what they're trying to start doing with World Showcase, to make the kids want to go to World Showcase a little more, but Dennis wants to keep it his way, which I understand.
Yeah, I mean, my biggest point is, and I love the movie Frozen, and I love the characters too. And I'd say build a fifth gate if you want. I'm all for Frozen. We can put Frozen everywhere, even in Future World. I would support Frozen. It's just stuffing it into World Showcase, just to me, was the wrong move, the wrong place, not the wrong attraction or the wrong franchise. I mean, it's hot. Disney's got to, you know, strike while the iron's hot. I totally agree with that. But I just think it was a little forced putting it into the Norway Pavilion.
Well, I'll play devil's advocate, right, and just say, mm-hmm. you know, Epcot, and even specifically World Showcase, really hasn't had much growth or expansion since, like, Soarin', right? Not a lot that's bringing – and it really has plateaued, right? I mean, Disney will tell you it sort of has plateaued in terms of – the number of guests that are coming in. And I think one of the issues is that how much is there for kids to do, especially in World Showcase? So people who come with families, and that's what Walt wanted, right? He wanted kids and parents and grandparents to come together. If you're bringing the kids to World Showcase, they're bored out of their skulls because they're like, do I really want to see, you know, reflections of China?
Right.
And the other thing, too, people say, well, this goes against the mission of Epcot, and I get that, but understand that Epcot and World Showcase has been evolving, and early plans for Epcot Center included characters in the UK, in Italy, in Germany, in a lot of the other pavilions, so it's not really getting all that far away from what was on the concept table way back when.
Now, did you you get what I was saying, though, with Fantasyland? Don't you think it's more adult-friendly now than it used to be?
Absolutely. There's a lot of reasons why Fantasyland, it's bigger, it's better, it's wider. It's no longer like a carnival shotgun midway straight across. And it is a nice place to wander and explore. And it has nothing to do with, you know, serving wine and beer and be our guest.
No, it has to do with I like the trees, the whole atmosphere. There's places to sit and relax. Before, it used to be like a concrete jungle you were trying to get through there. It was like so congested and crowded. You felt claustrophobic in that. No matter how busy the parks was, it always seemed like Fantasyland was packed.
Right. And, well, look, now they have pot roast mac and cheese, so there's just one more reason. You know.
I seen that on your a couple shows ago, and you made me want to hop in the car and go down. So what do you think? Do you think Cars Land is going to come over to that side too, or are they going to come up with something else? What's your opinion on that? Do you think they're going to bring the Radio Springs Racers over, or what?
You know, on paper, you can argue that there are many reasons why you should bring it here. I would
love it.
Cars Land. I think Cars Land is one of, if not the most beautiful thing that Imagineering has created in the last two decades. That being said, I'm a huge fan of it. But I'm a huge fan of it in California. Mm-hmm. I think it should stay there. I don't want it to be a replica here in Walt Disney World. I want to have a reason to go to Disneyland for experiences that I can only get there, whether it's Cars Land, Matterhorn, Subs, whatever it may be. So, you know, I like having it on both coasts, but I also understand from a business perspective, if it were to come here, I mean, certainly you can understand why.
Well, I hope it does, because I don't get to go out to California like you. So
and Disney knows that. Disney knows that. So.
And it's like the Haunted Mansion and Pirates and Splat. You know, they do have a lot. I understand what you're saying, but if Disney does it, hopefully they do. They bring some, but not all. They make their own spin on it down in Walt Disney World.
Right, makes them a little bit different.
So it's enjoyable, still different, but the same on both coasts.
Correct. Yep.
So what are you thinking, Lou, with what you know and what you think and what you're speculating on from today, right now, today? When will the studios be done? Are we looking at a 10-year window here of construction, or do you think it'll be somewhat quicker than that?
So you know I'm going to tell you that the studios are never going to be done, right? The
parks
are...
right.
You know,
that's the politically correct answer.
Well, no, I mean, I think that's true. I think that they're always evolving. They're always changing. I think in terms of, you know, building Star Wars and building Pixar, I mean, there's a huge infrastructure that has to go into doing that. And those things take time. I mean, look at Pandora. I mean, Pandora was announced 2 years ago and they are still building, and we're just, you know, now starting to see it go vertical. So, I mean, is it going to be at least 5 years? Probably. And that makes sense, because you want to let Pandora open. You want to get all of the hype and the traffic for that before you have another, you know, giant land opening in what is now going to be a very, very different Hollywood Studios, or whatever it's going to be called.
Right.
I mean, the sad part is, with animation closed and everything closing right now, I mean, there's like, what, 6-7 things to do in the whole park? I don't get why maybe they just don't shut the park down for and then reopen it. I mean, it's to the point now where there is not much to do there.
Well, I think that there is, because I am one of the people that doesn't believe that. I believe that there's more to the parks than just the attractions.
And we do, too. That's why we do this. But when you're taking kids, or you understand what I'm saying, Lou, when you're taking somebody there that wants to get on to just rides, you do Rock and Roller Coaster, Tower of Terror, Great Movie Ride, and you're at Toy Story Midway Mania, and you're out the door with the kids. Now, me, I could roam up and down Hollywood Boulevard and look in the shops and the architecture all day long.
Right. And look, that's why you have to say, look, if they're closing all these attractions, there's a reason why they are going to, you know, cut off a revenue stream by having people in the park for a long amount of time. Certainly, you can't shut the park down. There's no reason, because, mm-hmm. you know, if you're making, and I'm just throwing a round number, if you're making $1 million a day and you close half the attractions, you don't close the park because you're only making $500,000 a day.
Right.
You know, you keep it going. And if it's a half-day park, then that's fine. You go spend the other half somewhere else. You know, look, when the studios first opened, it very much was and was meant to be a half-day park. There was not a ton to do there once you got through all the shows and everything. So it's one of these things like Downtown Disney / Disney Springs. You need to be understanding and you need to be patient that progress does not happen overnight.
Oh, believe me, that's what I do for a living, Lou. I'm a general contractor, and I understand it. So if that's what I'm saying, like all the undertaking there that with Disney Springs, Avatar Land, the studios, all of DVC. I mean, the construction going on there is incredible. I can't believe they're getting it done as fast as they are with everything they have on their plate right now. I think the reason why they're – I think what's going to happen is once Avatar Land opens up, I think the studios are going to go full force then. And I think that that Animal Kingdom being open late will also take some of the strain off the studios being the few rides that it does have.
Absolutely. Yep.
So I think that's where they're going. Are you excited about Avatar Land?
I am. You know, I think that and I was excited when it was announced. I know a lot of people freaked out and were like, I'm never going there. I'm like, you haven't even seen anything yet. Like, you hadn't even seen concept art. Again, it goes back to the trust. It goes back to what I think. Look, I wish I had the time and the talent to take the movie Avatar and edit it down, get rid of all the fighting nonsense and the military and the guns and all that, and just make a movie that shows the beauty of this world of Pandora. Mm-hmm. And what this park, and this park is not going to be a park to visit at night. It is going to be the park to visit at night. And I am telling you, there are things that are coming to that world of Pandora that they haven't announced yet that I think are going to blow people away, including many of the naysayers that swore that they would never step foot in that park.
Well, Den can tell you I've been 100% behind the Animal Kingdom and Avatar Land since day one. I'm the one that goes on the other shows to fight about people who put the Animal Kingdom down, because I think half the people rush through that park so fast that they don't realize the pure beauty, because things there are made to discover. It isn't like the other parks where everything just jumps out at you. People get so frustrated, they walk by half the stuff there is to do at the Animal Kingdom, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. I absolutely agree. And it's one of my favorite parks to just go through and wander.
Absolutely. Well, you never know.
And the other thing, too, is, you know, I think people got too focused on the movie Avatar itself. I mean, I saw the movie. I enjoyed the movie. Was it the best movie I ever saw? No. But I look at it like this. I'm not the biggest Star Wars fan, but one of my favorite attractions at Disney World is Star Tours. And to me, if the attraction is done properly and, you know, they make it enjoyable in the animatronics or whatever might be in it, it really doesn't matter what the attraction's based on. If it's a good attraction or a good gives you a good experience, you're going to like it whether you like the movie or not. So to me, the movie is really secondary.
Look, you never have to have even seen an episode of Twilight Zone to enjoy Tower of Terror.
Right, exactly. Exactly. So that's what I mean. A lot of the negativity that I heard was based around the movie Avatar, and I think people are a little off base with that because, like you said, Lou, they haven't even seen what they're going to have for attraction, so how can you criticize already? I mean,
exactly. Yep.
Not already, but at all. I mean, give it a chance.
Yeah, I mean, at least see it first and then go complain about it on Twitter.
Exactly, exactly.
And that was the arguments we get in because we call Universal the other park here. and the thing of it was is all you would hear about Harry Potter and Fantasyland is in Harry. Well, it was never meant to be the competition. All of Disney World is the competition for Harry Potter Land. So when you can compete, let us know. I mean, there's so much more at Disney World than there is to do over at Universal, in my opinion. And I hate when the naysayers were coming down on the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train and all that. I think it's a great ride. They only had so much room to put stuff into the new Fantasyland. And I think what they did with it was brilliant, in my opinion.
I agree. And on everything that you said, right, it was not done in response to anything else. I mean, the idea for Mine Train was around ages ago. They literally took it off a shelf and were able to put it in there. And you're right, it's a very small footprint, but it's a beautiful attraction that I think is sort of a little three-act play with, you know, the beginning ride is different than what the little dark ride is in the middle, and then a little bit of Everest on the back end, and you get the payoff with Snow White and the Witch, and it's beautiful at night, and you could walk around it in 360 degrees, and it's a kinetic element, and it fits into the story, and everybody can ride it. You know, every mom and dad and grandma and grandpa can ride it with the kids as well.
It's thrilling, it's beautiful, and it's a different experience like most Disney rides are at night and during the day. It seems faster at night to me, like most of the rides do, but it's a totally different view when you're running on that, looking through all of Fantasyland as you're on that. It's really a beautiful ride at nighttime.
I agree.
So you go ahead, Dan.
No, I agree with what both you guys said. I mean, I do think that they built it to fit into Fantasyland and enhance Fantasyland, not to respond to Harry Potter. I think the timing of it, a lot of people, you know, looked upon it as that, as, oh, here's Disney's answer. And then when it wasn't an e-attraction, if you will, although I tend to think it is, but, you know, you can't really compare it to what Universal did. So for what Disney is, and, you know, I think that Disney, that's what separates Disney from either Universal or any other theme park in the world. It's the audio animatronics and the design of the sets and, you know, all the beauty of the attractions. I mean, Disney, if they want, could just build thrill rides or just steal roller coasters, if you will. But to me, that's not what Disney's about. It tells a story, and the Mine Train does a great job at that.
You hit the operative word is story. It's all about story. And look, I think the other parks have some great rides, but I think where they're lacking is in the cohesiveness of the story and the immersion into a certain world and a certain theme and the use of portals and everything else that I think Disney does so well.
Absolutely. It's all the little things that you find on all the rides. Like, I listened to you and Tim Foster do the whole Tomorrowland spiel, and I was riding on my lawn tractor cutting the grass just laughing about used to geeking out on little signs and the story and Buzz Lightyear and, you know, the TTA. It was, and I'm sitting there to myself as I'm a geek right with them. It's like I love all that stuff.
That's why we're all friends, right? Because we all like sort of talking about and geeking about and podcasting about, you know, stuff like that that just makes us happy about going to the park.
Absolutely. It's like I tell myself, like, when you're going on the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, don't play with the change. You know how many kids have stuck their hands in there, but I can't help myself. I still got to play with the coins and spin the thing.
Exactly.
Like I'm 5 years old, and I know you guys do the same thing.
Sure.
So talking about, I want to get into a couple things with you, Lou, and it's hard to pin you down on anything. If you have a must-to meal, you're going out to dinner, you're celebrating, which we both share our birthday. Our birthday's both on August 2nd, Lou.
Oh, nice. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you too, buddy. I think I have a
happy
year
birthday,
on you.
Happy birthday,
you too. What are you going to be, 47, Lou?
Oh, God, I got to do the math. 68. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I got
take
a year
your shoe
on
off.
You, buddy. I got to take your shoes off. I got a year on you. So if you're going out to that birthday dinner, what restaurant is your go-to restaurant? And you got to pick one at Walt Disney World. Where do you want to go for your go-to dinner?
I can actually do this. I can actually give you one. It's Blue Zoo at the Dolphin.
Oh, really?
It remains one of the best meals, not in Walt Disney World, one of the best meals I've ever had on the planet.
And what's your favorite? What's your go-to dish there?
I don't even look at the menu. I get the tuna appetizer with the frozen nitrogen sort of sriracha on top, and the miso glazed miro will change your life.
Me and the wife have eaten there. It's really awesome. What we had was and the reason we had to was we were staying at the Swan and Dolphin, and we got locked out, and he actually let us back in through his kitchen because it was pouring out. So we felt like we owed it to him to actually go to have dinner there. And
nice. It's
out of this world. Swan and Dolphin is a very underrated resort. They're absolutely beautiful. I love staying there.
I agree. And they have the most comfortable beds on property.
Absolutely. And it's kind of you're tucked away in the back there. It's a cozy little atmosphere in the back at the Swan and Dolphin there.
Yeah, and there's great dining options there, and you can always get in because so many people, like you said, overlook it.
Absolutely. Shula's Steakhouse is awesome.
Oh, yeah, baby.
No, we've had some really good times there. What about in the parks? Is there any, what's your favorite restaurant in the parks?
Oh, man. Oh, gosh.
You can give us a counter service and a sit down.
Oh, my God. You know, it's...
And it can change.
It changes like depending on where I am. I will tell you that I really love Katsura Grill in Japan in terms of counter service. I love the food and the music.
The sushi's awesome, isn't it?
And I love the atmosphere sitting outside in that little tea garden with the waterfall and the koi pond. And you can look out over the promenade and you're in the shade, and the music and the tea. I could sit there and sit there for hours. In terms of a sit-down restaurant in the parks, oh, man. I'm sort of quickly kind of going through in my head.
That's okay. We have our favorites. We always go on and on. I mean, we go off and on. Some are because of the way the dining plan worked out there with the 2 credits, stuff like that. But my go-to meal, actually, and everybody who knows the show, they actually call me Bangers and Mash, me and Dan. I love the United Kingdom. I love Rose and Crown Pub.
Yeah. Scotch egg. Oh, yeah.
It's awesome. And the Bangers and Mash are like, I think they're, for the price, they're one of the best meals on property.
Yeah. Good call. You can't go wrong.
No, and I'm not letting you off the hook. Come on.
Uh-oh. Oh, man. I thought you
I mean, I'm thinking back, Lou. You did a comprehensive dining review there that live. Well, it wasn't live. It was taped when we heard it. But you had the I forget who you had your meal with, but you actually brought in the waitress and you were going back and forth. That's the day you discovered the Scotch egg, I believe.
Yeah, and I had the person who was with me was from the UK because I wanted to just see how authentic the food really was.
Right.
You know what else I really like? It's kind of sit down, it's kind of not, but I really love the Brown Derby Lounge outside
that
where
is
you can
really,
actually.
That
yeah,
is really
you,
added to that resort. I mean,
oh,
that
no
restaurant.
Kidding. Yeah, no kidding. I like it a lot.
There's something about the Brown Derby. The inside, the elegance of it, it's just so beautiful in there. It takes you, and that's what it's supposed to be. But don't you feel like you're back in time every time you eat in there?
And you don't feel like you're in a theme park, and I think that's the important part.
No, and the food there, we actually took my mother-in-law, that's her favorite restaurant, for her 75th birthday, and she loved it. That's where she wanted to go. We gave her any spot on property to go to for her 75th birthday, and that's where she chose. And man, and I had a custom cake made from Disney for the whole nine yards. What a night that they gave us there. And that's always been a great memory of ours. We've probably eaten there 7-8 times and never been disappointed. The crab cakes are good. We love the salad. The what is it called?
Cobb salad.
The Cobb salad.
Yeah.
So, what's your go-to there on the outside
Cobb
patio?
Salad.
The Cobb salad?
outside patio. I like getting a bunch of little things and sharing them this way you can sort of sample, but they've got, some really good, a variety of like different sliders outside. And I can't get away from the Cobb salad because I kid myself into thinking that I'm eating healthy because it's salad. So just don't ruin it for me.
No, it's not, Lou.
Stop it.
It's probably more as many calories as eating a steak or flail. Have you tried Spice Road Tables yet?
Believe it or not, I have not been there yet.
Me and Dan has been promoting that a lot. And it's really good because the reason it came up was you were talking about liking to get the little – and sharing with everybody and the little plates there. The spicy garlic shrimp is out of this world. The hummus is really good. And it's a really nice area if you get on the outside patio to watch the fireworks.
Yeah. I just haven't had a chance to go yet. And I'm, you know, I don't like sharing, but theoretically I will share, you know, if I need to. So.
If forced to, you will share. Yeah, no, it is beautiful. Like Doug said, you can, you get a good view of the, you know, the illuminations if you get a table by the rail there. I was just thinking, you mentioned sliders and I'm doing a flashback here. A couple of years ago, you did a show and I believe, I hope it was you, but the meatball sliders over at Portobello Yacht Club. And I remember, it's just a funny story because, well, funny to me. I went in there one morning. I did a solo trip, and I was down there, and I had just heard that show within a couple of weeks. So I said, all right. So I walk in there like 11 o'clock. They had just opened, and nobody's in there. And I saunter over to the bar, and you know, I'm saying, wow, you know, Lou said they offer these meatballs for lunch or whatever, but I'm thinking they're going to think I'm crazy. There's nobody in here. And sure enough, I asked either the bartender or somebody that was back there, and they were just so excited. Well, where did you hear about this? And I said, oh, you know, Lou Mangiello did a show on this. The actual chef of the whole place come out and he started telling me about this is the lamb meatball and the thing. He put the whole spread and the, I think there was bread that came with it or something. Oh, yeah, garlic. With dipping oil or whatever. It was it was just so awesome. And those are just the little things that, you know, where I had a solo trip, I could kind of get off the beaten path and do those things. But I just wanted to say thanks to you. I was able to indulge in some of those meatball sliders over at Portobello Yacht Club. And I guess my follow-up question is, do they still have them?
So I got good news and I got bad news.
Uh-oh.
The good news is, well, first of all, thank you. I'm happy that, and look, that's the goal, right, is to introduce people to something they may not have done. So I'm happy that you got to see it.
Right.
But you were one, you may not, you were the last to pass this way because.
Uh-oh, your mouth should have
been me. The meatball bar is no longer there.
Bummer.
That's why I'm shocked that we even pulled Spice Road Tables on you. When I said you said you didn't eat there, I'm like shocked that you haven't eaten someplace that me and Dennis has. Now, I know you've eaten here over at GECO at the Animal Kingdom Lodge.
Yeah.
Dennis, I've been trying to get him in there, and he keeps going back to his favorites, blah, blah, blah. Tell him how good GECO is.
So GECO's one of those like exceptional dining experiences that once again makes you forget that you're on property. You know, and it's not like a Victorian Albert's, right? Albert's is one of those things, like, it's a super special, like, maybe a once-in-a-lifetime kind of thing.
It's a place I don't even feel like I belong.
But you can, you know, GECO is very accessible, right? I think it's very accessible in terms of it's nothing scary on the menu. You can go, you know, it's not so expensive that you can't go, you know, every trip or every other trip or whatever it may be. And the food there is unlike anything else you're going to find, even at places like Boma.
It's incredible, isn't it? I mean, just the flavors in there. And my wife loved the African wines. And I mean, and the whole ambiance, especially if you go in there when it's just getting dark. Isn't that resort like the most it's one of the nicest resorts. It's so subtle. It's so cozy in there at nighttime. There's just something about the mood in there is perfect in that whole resort at nighttime.
I think cozy is a really good word for that resort at night.
It is. It's huge, but because of the way the lighting is, it just seems so comforting. Like, it's just weird the way you stroll through there. It's like you're at peace when you're walking through that resort. It slows you down.
Well, it's got those warm colors, and it's very comfortable. And even if you go down to, like, Victoria Falls Lounge and get a drink or sit by the fire, and the music is very soothing. And it just, I think the dark woods, it's very sort of, it's like it's hugging you. It's like it's giving you a big hug.
Absolutely. Then go outside to eat at the to sit around and listen to some of the bushmen give you stories about the wilderness around the campfire. I mean, it's just absolutely a beautiful resort. I mean, even if you're not staying there, everybody should go over and visit that resort.
Listen, and the secret, I'm going to come closer. I'm going to give you the secret.
Okay.
Just
for you. Just don't tell anybody. Because I'm sure you obviously know about Sanaa, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah,
but Sanaa's the play awesome. Is you go to Sanaa late night and you sit in the little lounge bar area because there's usually nobody there. You can get the bread service with all the dips and drinks and shareable little things, and they take tables in Wonderland. I went with like seven
nice.
People. We got tons of food. We shared appetizers. We literally broke bread together, had drinks, and it was like $50 for everybody.
Wow. It's awesome.
It was awesome.
I mean, just the view there in Sanaa with that wrought iron and the glass and all, because like I talk all the time, everybody knows I'm the dumb carpenter on the show, but just roaming around and looking at all the architecture and the work that went into making all that, it's just amazing to me.
And the story, you know, their stories. Talk to the cast members and they will share stories about, you know, why everything is there and what it means and what how it compares to where they're from.
Absolutely. Did you what did you have it? Did you have the oak grilled filet mignon over there at the at GECO or no?
Oh gosh, no. I think I had.
I'm putting you on the spot here.
I know
filet mignon there is absolutely out of this world, and so is the Botswana style beef short ribs.
That's it. That's what I had. I was gonna say. I think I had short ribs when I was there, which were redonkulous.
They like melt in your mouth, man.
Yeah, and that you and if they pair it like with a nice South African wine. Oh yeah.
So we got you have to go there, Dan.
I do, and I'm kind of stuck on California Grill, and I've told this story before, Lou. But my son's a chef in New York City now. But when he was a little younger, 12, 13, we started going there, and when he told the our waiter that he, you know, wanted to be a chef and he was going to go to school and he had this whole plan, they actually took care of him so much so that they took him for a private tour of the kitchen,
wow.
took him all the way around. And you remember Yoshi, right? Before she retired?
Yeah,
she was the sushi chef. And
yeah.
we happened to get a seat right at the sushi bar there, and my son ate sushi. He was the adventurous eater in the family, and we didn't. But she would kid with us, or she did kid with us that night. Oh, you're going to eat sushi before the end of the night, she was saying to us. And she kept sneaking little pieces of this and that onto our plates, even though we had ordered full-size entrees. So we just have such a fond memories of the California Grill and Yoshi and how they took care of my son there, that we just, for our signature dining each vacation, we tend to go back there. But I do got to get off and get over to Jico, but we just love the California Grill for not only for the great food, but for the sentimental reasons.
Yeah, it's hard not to love California Grill. I'm a sushi guy, so right. I dig it big time.
Yeah, well, that's why you like over at the Japan Pavilion. Eating sushi exactly. Up under them umbrellas don't get much better than that.
No kidding.
Have you been down to the boathouse yet?
I have. I was only there when they did like a little preview right when it was opening, but I was able to sample a bunch of things on the menu, including everybody talks about the $115 steak, which is meant to be split, by more than one person. And I don't know what they do to it, but man, that was a really good steak. Like, I see why it was $150. Like, I don't mind spending money on food if it's exceptional, and that was a really good piece of steak.
I think that might be the only thing you don't mind spending money on is food. If you listen to your show, you're always in the mood to spend money on some food.
Yeah, listen, I love to eat. So,
I mean, down there, you're looking for Marimoto Steakhouse. How about that?
Yeah,
you like the Iron Chef?
Oh, yeah. And again, you're bringing another sort of Asian fusion type experience. Disney Springs, talking about a place that's undergoing a transformation. It's not just in the feel of that area is so markedly different than what it was 6-8 months ago. It's not your father's downtown Disney anymore.
No, you're absolutely right, Lou. I mean, I've been down there a couple times since the construction has really gotten going, and there's places you can go now down there, or at least I've found that if you just close your eyes and you didn't know where you were, you'd open your eyes and say, I don't know where I am. I mean, the old marketplace obviously is still there, but all that new stuff out by the water, I mean, it's a whole brand new place. It's just amazing, to your point, how much it's changed. The vibe has changed in different areas down there.
Yeah, absolutely.
They hit a home run with it, in my opinion. I can't wait till it's 100% done. And I was saying to Dan before, I mean, Riverside and Port Orleans French Quarter have been popular for the longest time. But I think it's going to have an all new punch to Old Key West and Saratoga Springs. When it's 100% complete, I think the reservations for them two DVCs are going to go through the roof.
I think Saratoga Springs is all of a sudden going to get new life and new popularity. You're 100% right.
Yep. And speaking of that whole area, and it's a little outside the parks, but Denny, and we've had a bunch of our listeners try it. If you like barbecue, Lou.
Yeah, man.
You should go over to the Bee Resort there. I don't know if you've been there yet.
Yeah, I have, but I know the place you're talking about, but I've never eaten there before.
American Q is out of this world.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to go try that. And right. Dennis, how good was it?
Oh, yeah. If you're into meats, they had...
He's into meats.
Yeah. there was like 12 different cuts of beef, chicken. I had alligator, not that that's mainly on the menu, but they just keep bringing the beef Lou, you would really like this place. It's called American Q, and they actually have a flatbed truck in the middle of the dining room that has the salad bar and all the fixings on it and stuff. And the cuts of meat, you'd be surprised. I was shocked when I went in there. I was like, I was a little skeptical, and I had never heard of it. And it's inside a hotel, but definitely worth the trip. And the prices are compared to on property, not too bad. And it's about a 6-7 minute walk from downtown Disney. We weren't sure where it was, so we took a cab over there, and then we walked back to downtown. And if you're looking for someplace different, definitely give American Q a try. You will really enjoy it. I guarantee it.
I think there are so many places in downtown Disney and in the hotels that people just don't even think about. I mean, all the time. I don't even want to tell you a couple of them because I don't want to. I like being able to walk in, you know, and be able to, you know, walk in without having a reservation.
Well, this kind of changed Dennis around a little bit because he even said it's off property, but it's actually on property because it is Disney property that the Bee Resort is on in downtown. But the point of it is it actually steered him a little bit to open his horizons, to check out some other things besides the regular Disney resorts. And what about the candy bacon, Dan?
Oh, yeah. They have this candied bacon that comes in a mason jar. And I mean, bacon in itself is awesome, as we know. But then when you candy the bacon, I was almost like trying to put these mason jars in my coat pocket to get out of there because it was just, I mean, this is a signature dish, if you will. It's bacon, but oh my goodness, was it good. It's beyond words. I can't explain
it. You're stuttering,
but
like it's so good. I can't even
I'm drooling right now, Lou. But yeah, it is awesome. But yeah, in your travels, if you ever get a chance, check it out. I think you'd be very pleased.
We're trying to give you a little bit of information that you don't have, Lou. I mean, it's almost impossible to find anything that you don't have. And the other thing is, if you like sushi, have you tried the sushi at the bowling alley at Downtown Disney?
Dude, I love the play. Is you go to Splitsville, you sit outside, live music, get some sushi, and then bang, right into AMC Theater.
Yep, because our buddy Bob from All in WDW, he says that the sushi there is better than anywhere else on property, in his opinion.
I think it's up there. It's some of my favorite sushi. They've got like this tuna crunch, king tuna crunch roll thing, which is phenomenal. But come closer. The best sushi on property is actually at Kimono's at the Swan.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Putting it on the list.
I'll tell you what. I give you credit, Lou. You're giving the Swan and Dolphin some serious love.
I hate saying so much about it because it is. And I mean, not that I sing karaoke, but they also have karaoke at Kimono's too.
No, just a little secret. Dennis, turn your microphone off.
Yeah.
Dennis gets mad that the Swan and Dolphin shares the buses with the other resorts over there.
Oh, don't get me going on that. I'm gonna be nice. We have a guest tonight, so we're going to move right along and continue with the show.
He stays at the Boardwalk and the Yacht and Beach Club a lot, and he'll get on the show, and I know what's coming, and it's an inside joke on our show. But I always love the Swan and Dolphin, and he knows I love them, but it's all good.
Yeah.
So, Lou, you got a couple things coming up here. What's going on in Fort Worth, Texas with this podcast movement?
Yeah, so I'm doing a keynote presentation at Podcast Movement. It's the second year for the conference. And then what I like to do is when I'm on the road speaking or doing consulting or whatever it may be, I'm doing like a meetup. You know, I'm like, hey, listen, if anybody's in the area wants to show up, and I've been pleasantly surprised at the people that come out. I've done them in Vegas, and I've done them in New York, and I've done them, you know, in Hawaii. So I'll be in Fort Worth. I'm going to have a meetup on Sunday, August 2nd.
Okay, on your birthday.
It is on our birthday.
Happy birthday, buddy.
Thank you very much, my friend. Same to you.
And you have – what's going on? You have – I heard on one of your shows, and we'll put it out there, you have a cruise coming up on a meeting all coming up in 2016 in New York.
Yeah, so I do a cruise every year, you know, with you know, listeners and friends, and we've been doing it for the past 5 or 6 years. So we actually have two coming up next year because when I heard that they announced a Star Wars Day at Sea cruise, literally 15 minutes later, I had graphics put together. I'm like, I'm doing it. Like, how am I not, you know? It's also the 9th anniversary of the show, so we're going to combine the two. We're going to do that in February 6th, we're going to do a 7-day cruise on the Disney Fantasy. And a few years ago, I went back and I did an event in Jersey where I'm originally from. And it was really cool to go back and see old friends like pork roll, egg and cheese and bagels and knishes. And so I wanted to do it again. And I was thinking about another cruise and thinking about doing some international stuff. And everything just sort of lined up perfectly. So we're going to do an event in New York City, then hop on the Disney Magic from New York City, 6-night cruise to Puerto Rico, and then spend the weekend in Puerto Rico.
Oh, there you go. That sounds really nice.
Yeah, all as a group event.
We might try to get up to New York to see you.
Yeah, man, that'll be cool.
I wish we were holding it in New Jersey, but it's in New York.
It might be.
Okay.
We're not sure where it's going
to
be yet. So
try
the
to
New
keep
York,
it on the
New
Jersey shot side. Keep it real. I know you're a Giants fan, which I won't hold that against you. Because I'm from South Jersey. I'm more down by Atlantic City.
Oh, don't tell me you're an Eagles fan, because all of a sudden my Skype connection is going to mysteriously break. I'm losing, yeah, but, me, guys.
But you can puff your chest out, Lou, because you can razz me because you cost me 2 Super Bowls. I'm up here in New England, so.
Yeah. Eli decides to play in the Super Bowl every year.
It's easy to razz the Eagles fans because they have none, and it's easy to razz the Patriots fans because we stole 2 from you and Deflategate and everything.
Be nice.
But listen, at least none of your players decides on July 4th, you know, I'm making too much money. Let me blow my finger off with a firework. So,
$60 million it cost that poor guy. I can't even get mad at him. I feel horrible for him.
Listen, I don't feel horrible for him at all because money can't fix stupid, and that was just stupid.
I couldn't believe that. It's like, really? I mean, they spent $51,000 on fireworks for that.
Oh, my gosh. They should have just flown everybody down to Disney instead.
Exactly. And one of the other shows I listened to, it's a football show. The guy was saying that, dude, there's fireworks at like every park everywhere. Like, you can't go 5 miles anyway without running into a fireworks show. Why do you have to have them in your backyard?
Hire somebody. Exactly. Hire some dude to like go and light them for you. You're JPP, man. What are you thinking?
That's what
you
I
have
see
people
when
to do that.
You're right. You got people to do that for you, to do stupid stuff for you, you joker.
And then you also, what's going on with you and Becky Mankin at D23?
Yeah, so we're back again. We've been at every D23. We combine our forces and create one big booth and live broadcast from D23 all 3 days and have sort of a little talk show set up there so people can come by and we have Disney legends come by and some of our celebrities and random fans and cosplayers and do a live show basically for 3 days straight.
No, that's awesome, Lou. I've been a box person for years, and I love watching you, and especially when you take the box out and, you know, interview people and stuff. That's kind of taken on a life of its own, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy.
The box people.
And then on August 20th, so do you do summit plumbing at Typhoon Lagoon or no? Or blood, that's Blizzard Beach. But do you, what do? You ride
the
waves
on the surface? Yeah, man, I do it all.
You sit on that little tube and float around and wait for lunch. I know you do.
Well, in a perfect world, that's how I like to spend my day there. Yeah, but I'll do Humunga Cowabunga and I'll do all the different things. They're fun. So
what's that on August 20th?
August 30th. Yeah, we do every summer. We do a meet of the month at one of the water parks and just sort of spend a day there together.
Well, I know you have a lot of fun with your friends, not your fans, your friends.
Yeah, man, that's what it's all about. And we is what it's all about.
So we'll let you go, Lou. We won't keep you on much longer. We really, really appreciate you coming on with us. And just so you know, I think I'm the one that started calling you the Podfather. I really
listen.
Know.
That is very nice. There have been guys that have been doing it, you know, way longer than I have, and guys like Adam Curry and things like that. I am very, very, very fortunate to be able to look like you guys know. I mean, you got 180 episodes, which is a huge accomplishment, man. You guys should be very proud of that. You know, we're blessed to be able to share our passion for something that we enjoy with other people that care about what we have to say. So I think that makes us some of the luckiest guys that we're able to do what we do.
Absolutely.
Well, Lou, and I just want to say you are an inspiration, and I know you get kind of bashful when people talk like this, but it is true that you know, always being positive, and that was one of the first things I picked up on when I started listening to you years ago, that, you know, no matter what's going on, you always take the high road, you're always positive, and that rubs off on people, and I think the Disney community in general is better off for it. So thank you for all you do for, you know, your fans, friends, and other podcasters like us. It is appreciated.
Oh, thank you, man. That sincerely means a lot to me that you said that. So you made my night.
Absolutely.
There you go.
And I'll pile on that you've got me through a lot of hard days, busy days, bad times. I'll throw in that podcast, and it brings a smile to my face. I mean, I'll be up high on a construction site, like 40 feet in the air, 100 degrees, sweating, and I'll have your podcast on, and you'll say something, or you'll talk about something you're eating or where you're going or one of your friends. And it just gets you through the day, and I really appreciate everything you do, Lou. You set a great example for all of us.
Thank you, brother. That means a lot.
So that's going to be it, Lou. I hope you have a great night, and I hope you have a wonderful birthday, my good friend.
Thanks to you, man. I hope to see you guys again soon.
All right, we'll talk to you
Likewise.
Later.
Likewise. Thanks,
bye-bye.
Luke.
Guys. Thank you.
Thanks.
Good
bye.
Night.
Well, guys, that's going to be it. Me and Dan's going to hop off our stools, pay our tab, and get on out of here. This show is brought to you by our fine sponsors, American Tourist Travel. For all your travel needs, contact American Tourist Travel at 856-227-9200. If you need a nice home in the Central Florida area to go visit Disney, Universal, or any of the fine amusement parks, and you want to stay outside the parks, contact the Elite Vacation Homes at 888-510-6679. They have a home to fit any size family. If you need a scooter in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at 855-939-7266. And if you want to rent a vacation club on Disney property, contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at 800-610-5791. And you can also find all of our fine sponsors at our website at www.magicalmainstreetmemories.com. And please, guys, go give us a review over on iTunes. That's going to be it. Thanks again, and thanks for listening. We will see you next time. Bye-bye.